I'm going to tell you a time I poured myself into something. That morning, I had to get up at 4 a.m., and I was on the water at 5, and the gun fired, and immediately, with fanatic determination, there were 80 racers out of the gate, but my boat wouldn't go straight. Before I knew it, I was at the back of the pack, right out of the gate. I paddled harder, but I couldn't get the flipping boat to go straight. And see, I don't have a lot of experience racing, and I didn't have very much experience kayaking, evidently, either. And I eventually I was able to somehow get my boat straight. And I started chirping the people beside me. I'm like, let's go, let's catch up to those guys, let's go, come on. And I was so fanatically determined. And then there's this one guy, we were about evenly matched, and we worked our way to the back of the front. Actually, that's in my imagination. Anyways, the back of the front of the pack, I believed. And I said, let's go, get him. I'm just like, come on, man, where's your juice? Like, let's go. And then we're about 10 minutes of paddling away, maybe to the end, and I started chirping harder. And then the guy beside me just turned to me, and he's like, you're in the relay, aren't you? It's like, oh, yeah. In other words, we're in totally different races. Like I'm done in 10 minutes. He has a grueling 6 hours to go of running and biking. And he could tell that the end of his race was different from the end of my race. Our eyes were fixed in different places. There's so much you can't control in this life. The future of the economy, we saw that this week. The future of your kids, you don't know, right? You don't know where they'll end up. The future of your health, you don't know. You don't know some diagnosis, you don't know. Your neighbor's future, your neighbor's path, a beloved friend. Your own path, you don't even have control over that. What you can control is where your eyes are fixed. That's one thing you can control. And so where is the end of the race for you? For Terrence and Karen, as I've been able to journey with them for the past 2 years, I've seen that the end of the race for them is just to honor Jesus. And I've seen as they've been wrestling with different calls, different churches, their eyes have been fixed on Jesus. And more recently, are we called to stay in Thorold and to invest in this school and these people? And I'm so excited about the possibility of them staying. But I don't know where our church vote will go, and I don't know where this ministry will go, but there's something exciting about not knowing and just being ready to pour out. And so Terrence and Karen inspire me, but there's another story that inspires me, and that's this. This is God's word. This is an ordinary woman, and I don't know if she knew the impact of her love poured out. This is God's word. While he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. So the Gospel of John identifies this woman as Mary, and so she just had her brother raised from the dead. And that doesn't normally happen, but it happened to her, and she is ecstatic and grateful. And some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? Couldn't it have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor? And they rebuked her harshly. What a fool, they thought to themselves, right? What a fool. Leave her alone, Jesus says. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you. You can always help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured out perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached, what she's done will also be told in memory of her. Let's pray. Jesus, show us your word. May people see things that I missed even in my preparation. May this text come alive to each one of us. May we see Jesus in a fresh way. Amen. So we're going to look at love poured out, the loves that this woman poured out, and your own love that you're pouring out, wherever that might be, and Jesus' love poured out. So first, this woman's love poured out. Jesus is at a dinner gathering. Bear in mind, in those days, they didn't have personal hygiene. They didn't. So they didn't have deodorant. They didn't have personal grooming. They didn't bathe. Like, can you imagine? So even by their own standards, they knew that they smelled bad. Like, they knew that. And so it was very customary for someone, when they entered into the house of someone who is distinguished, they just put a dab of perfume on their head, right? So just one dab, just to cover up stench and to give honor. So this passage begins when Mary enters the room and Jesus is dining, and she could have put one drop to show great honor. She dumps the whole bottle. One drop on the forehead, $50. She dumps a whole bottle. We see in the text, it was a full year's wage, $45,000 in today's money, right? That's just a guess, right? A minimum wage or something. How dare she do this, people say. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, leave her alone. She's done a beautiful thing for me. What she has done will be told wherever the gospel is told. I want you to turn to your neighbor again. And if you didn't turn last time to your neighbor, find a neighbor, okay? And let's just entertain multiple perspectives here. You have the text in front of you. If you don't, raise your hand, and Nick will get you the text, or someone. Raise your hand if you don't have the text. Kelly and John, and Joy has some of the back. Yep, Joy's got it. Sorry, Nick, for putting you on the spot there. Nick does not have it. And so just share with your neighbor, why do you think that this is meant to be told whenever the gospel is told? Why do you think it says that in the passage? You have 2 minutes. Bible scholars wonder what this perfume was from, how she got it, but it's estimated that it's not like 10% of her income. It's like 90%. It's like everything she's got. And so they wonder, was it a dowry that she was to save for her husband? Was it a family heirloom to be saved for some time, some kind of disaster, to save her family from poverty? It's only clear that she wanted to give this. That this was her most precious possession. She wanted some means, somehow, some way, something to show her inexpressible delight in a man who'd been inexpressibly good to her. My prayer is that as you look at this woman's love poured out, it would inspire your own love to be poured out for Jesus. Let's look at that. Jesus' words are, she has done a beautiful thing for me. She has done a beautiful thing for me. This is my prayer, that one day when you stand before Jesus, when I stand before Jesus, that Jesus would say, you have lived a beautiful life for me. We open the story with a time, open our message with a time when you poured out your love, and was it worth it? You pour yourself out into many things, many different things, and life has so many unknowns, and we can be hesitant to pour out our life before and our love before Jesus. This woman is an example for us. Look at this, the sheet in front of you. There's different ways to have a posture towards Jesus. One is, you know, with this clenched fist. You know, Jesus, my life is yours. Take it if you need it. I don't really want to give it, but it's there, and take it if you need it. That's one posture. Another is kind of half open. You can see in that picture. You know, Jesus, here's my house, kind of, and my green car, kind of. I offer it if you want it, kind of hesitantly, right? And then she was not like that. She was like, Jesus, my most precious possession, I hereby give it to you. Right now, I'm pouring it out. Right now, it's yours. So which one are you? Which one are you? Where are your eyes fixed? This will determine which posture we take. I was told, you're in the relay, aren't you? And people could see I had a very different goal in mind for the race. In the race of life, what's your goal? Are you holding back anything? And this is something I had to pray through. I'm like, well, I have a savings account where I'm saving up to buy a house. I have about $30,000 in there. I want to buy a house. You know, it's more than many in this church. It's less than many in this church. But Jesus, is that something you want to take? You know, it's I can surrender that. I'm not like this woman, though. I'm not like this woman. I can imagine, I can't imagine what she did, but something in me is attracted. It's really attracted to what she did. She wouldn't hold anything back amidst all the unknowns of life. She just gave it all to Jesus. There are many unknowns for her. I don't think she knew the end for Jesus. I don't think she knew that, you know, all his friends would betray him. I don't think she knew that she herself would be honored the way in which she was. Each one of you, you're on your own path, and so many of you are pouring out your lives for Jesus, like Terrence and Karen are at Prince of Wales, but you're not getting the same publicity. That quote, I have a quote from these little hobbits, and you're like those little hobbits, not knowing the future, but your eyes are fixed on Jesus, and you're trusting the path that he has for you. And I praise God when I see that. Don't turn back from that path that you're on. May it be said of you, Ray, you lived a beautiful life for me. Matt, you lived a beautiful life for me. Darlene, you lived a beautiful life for me. Nick, you lived a beautiful life for me. Corrine, you lived a beautiful life for me. There are reasons that you might have to fix your eyes on other things other than Jesus. This woman, if this was her dowry, this was her security for marriage. If it was her family heirloom, this was her hedge against disaster. It didn't matter. She just gave herself beautifully to Jesus unconditionally. How beautiful is that? Jesus had her future. That's faith. Jesus has your future. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Don't turn back. There's a very interesting passage in Jesus' final days. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, right about to bear the weight of your sin and of my sin. And he says, "Father, if there be any other way, take this cup from me." In other words, he's open to getting out of the cross. He's open to it. If there's any other way to save these people from their sin that doesn't involve this path, I will take it. But I will choose the path of suffering if that's what you have for me. For my eternal joy, for your eternal joy, Jesus gave himself unconditionally. Why not give your future to him unconditionally? What? Why not? He already gave himself to you unconditionally. He's the only one who has his eyes fixed on you unconditionally. Why not give the future of your family to him, the future of our church, the future of your health? I see this woman had a special relationship with Jesus and a special path. I see Terrence and Karen as well. They have a special path, but you have your own opportunities to pour your life out at the feet of Jesus. Where will it take you? Where will it take you? I looked at, Nick and I were talking this morning, and he said he wants to get a tattoo from a UFC fighter that says, "Jesus didn't tap." Jesus didn't tap. And as you look ahead to your life, why not give yourself to a God who gave himself unconditionally to you and he did not tap? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son who poured out his life for us that we might pour out our lives for others and for you. Would you give us the grace to fix our eyes on Jesus? Would you give us the grace to pour out what it is that you've given us and trust the path that you have us on in all its unknowns, and to trust that you are working out all things for our good? Freshly, we surrender our hearts and our lives to you, knowing that you are good and that you are faithful. Through Christ we pray. Amen.